Tonight's episode of the Uncle Mike and Tom Show is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Remember to include the /PWP Radio so they know we sent ya. Another week here on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show, episode number 76. But tonight's a little bit different because up here in the Northeast, we got clobbered with a snowstorm today. So Uncle Mike is not here in the studio. He's actually on Skype himself. What's going on, brother?
Not much. Instead of a host, I feel like a guest.
Yeah, right? But we're both here. That's Uncle Mike. I'm Tom Richards, and we thank you for listening to the show.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
In a busy week, we got lots of news, actually, to get to tonight. Plus, coming up in a couple minutes, we got the psycho shooter, Drake Younger, going to be joining us here live on the program in a couple minutes. That'll be something to look forward to.
Oh, yes.
Also tonight, we got Brian the Brain making his return to the program for the first time in 2014 as he was live at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla DDT4 this past Friday night, and he will give us the lowdown on all of that. And that's all coming up on the show today, man.
Plus, yeah, what a luck cup.
Yeah, man, we got hammered with snow today, a bunch of snow days all around the valley, I'm sure. Did you end up going to work?
No.
No, neither did I. I know the outlaw down in Philly didn't go either, man. It was pretty bad here in the Northeast, man.
Well, what did he say he got?
I didn't even ask what he got in Philly, but I know they got hit pretty good. But us up here in North PA, man, I looked out this morning about 6 a.m., and the snow was almost up to the hood of my car. So I was like, oh, I'm not getting out of that. I guess this is a personal day.
Yeah, fuck that.
Goddamn right, man. Another month in this winter, though.
Honestly, to tell you the truth, I never would have got out of the yard.
Yeah, because your driveway goes
down. If I started my car and even tried to attempt, I never got out. I have more than a foot.
Mm. Crazy day. But that's all right, because it's warm inside, and it's warm listening to this podcast, man. So it's all good. You know.
Yeah.
So with that, I say we go get Drake Younger on the line and get this show on the roll, man.
Sounds good.
All right. I lied. We're not going to Drake Younger yet. How about we do some plugs here on the show before we get rolling?
You lied.
I lied.
Well, at least you admit it.
If you are a first-time listener, we welcome you to the show, and this is something we do every Thursday. It's the Uncle Mike and Tom Show. We do interview, news, last week's results, upcoming news, every Thursday, man. So if you're an indie wrestling fan, you found us, and you should come aboard on a weekly basis.
Yep.
Our home on the internet is www.indiewrestlingworld.com/Uncle Mike and Tom. And that's an archive of all 76 shows we have done so far, including this one you're listening to. And it lists all of our past guests. You can click on any show you want and save it and listen to it. Also, we are part of the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. So you can go do a search on your iTunes or your Stitcher or Blog Talk Radio for Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network and join, and you'll get us delivered to you every Thursday, man, free of charge. You don't even have to do anything. We'll come every Thursday. How easy is that? But also, we're on Twitter, at Mike Tom Show, so you can follow us on there, and you'll get the show every week there. Also, my Twitter is at The Tom Richards, and I always talk about independent pro wrestling all week long and live results on weekends. So if you're an independent fan, you probably want to follow me too. And we're on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and look up The Uncle Mike and Tom Show, and you can like our page, and you'll get our show delivered to you every Thursday on your timeline on Facebook, man. And I think that's all the plugs we got to do, right? Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, iTunes. Spread the word, man. Spread the word about independent
Archive.
Pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Did you plug the archive.org?
Yeah. Archive.org is where we upload all our shows to. So, worst case scenario, you can go to archive.org and do a search for the Uncle Mike and Tom Show, and you will find all 76 episodes. Or if you're totally computer literate, just find Google and type in the Uncle Mike and Tom Show, and you'll find us, man. And that's about it. And with that, now we can go get Drake Younger on the line.
Yeah.
And joining us up first this week is one of the most popular wrestlers on the independent scene, man, making waves all over the place. He's the Golden Boy, the Psycho Shooter, and damn it, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Drake Younger is here on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show. Welcome, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Uncle Mike and Tom. I appreciate it, guys, and it's an absolute pleasure to be on here and talk about some wrestling, and in particularly the AIW and CZW. But thank you guys so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for doing the show, man. We appreciate it, since we're giant fans, man.
Cool, man. Very glad to hear that. I appreciate the support.
Because we're up here in northeastern Pennsylvania, so we're like, we go to CZW. So, man, we remember you all the way back when you first debuted in CZW and stuff. So it's been a long time.
Nice, nice, yeah.
But before we get to indie stuff, right off the bat, I want to talk about you recently were part of a WWE tryout camp in late December.
Yes, I was. Absolutely, man. Very positive experience. It went very fantastic. I'm real grateful for the opportunity that I was afforded to go there.
How did that come about for you?
Well, man, I mean, you know, I'm not really at liberty to talk too much in detail about it. I hate to start off the interview like that. I guess we should have talked about that off the air, but I can't go into too many details in regards to that, man.
All right, my only other question is, have you heard anything from that?
Again, brother, I'm so sorry. I can't go into details in regards to that.
But hey, it's all good. Being secretive is a good sign to me, man. Because, like, there's nobody we'd rather see make it than you. And, like, this is one thing, like, man, like, a few years ago, like, if someone said Drake Younger in WWE, it would be like, yeah,
oh,
man.
Nobody would have paid any mind whatsoever, yeah.
But, man, these last 2 years, you've gotten in such amazing shape. And since you hit PWG, I can't believe, like, how, like, you walked in there and the crowd just, like, fell in love with you, and you're, like, the most popular guy there now.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. I put in a lot of hard work, and you know, I figured, why the hell not, man? Let me, for so many years, I've done fairly decent, just kind of coasting along. And I was like, you know what, man, let me put as much effort as I put in the ring, let me put that out of the ring in regards to, to diet and exercise and, you know, keeping myself level-headed and everything, and it's worked wonders for me, dude. PWG's just been an absolute blessing for me, and it's allowed me to, you know, gain some new fans that never would have seen me before, and it's unreal to kind of take 10 seconds to come up for air and take a breath and kind of, you know, reflect a little bit on how far I've come, man. And it's, yeah, as you said, if anybody mentioned WWE and my name, they've said a couple years ago, and it's been like, nah, he's cool, but well, that's like possible. But to even be mentioned, that's, you know, in that realm, and to have that opportunity to do the stuff that I've done with the campus. It's truly a blessing. It goes to show you that, you know, if you, you know, you work hard and keep moving forward and you treat people with respect, man, you know, many things are possible. And, you know, I just, as for me, I just say don't ever stop dreaming, man.
And the hard work, you could tell, man, you really look fantastic these days, man. You got the look down now that, like, the big leagues look for.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
But so this weekend, man, you're finally making your return to the East Coast. As Friday night, you're going to be in AIW taking on Michael Elgin for the AIW World title. Why don't you talk about AIW a little bit?
Yeah, man, AIW played a very pivotal part in my career. You know, from like 2007 to, you know, through 2009. I was going there all the time. And you know, I take a lot of pride in my place because I feel like I kind of helped open a lot of eyes to their product, you know, and during that time. And those shows were so cool, you know. It was like on any given show, you'd have like me and, you know, Seth Rollins, Tyler Black, Nicole Butcher, Sterling James Keenan, who's now Corey Graves, and then they bring in all kinds of stuff. And then you had, like, awesome, at the time, he was like a local guy, John Gargano, who's now, you know, he's been the Dragon Gate USA champ for, like, 20 years.
Yeah, right.
So, like, all these hot up-and-coming wrestlers, and, you know, whenever I moved to California, Coast flights are quite different stuff, so AIW wasn't able to, you know, ask them to bring me in. So I moved down here with talks, and we wanted to the schedule and stuff kind of came about. But, they have grown leaps and bounds, and they're one of the most recognized companies on the internet nowadays, you know, with their DVDs on Smart Mark Video, and their on-demand coverage there, and their iPay-per-views. They just had a wildly successful show in December called Dead Presidents. And,
yeah.
Michael Logan's the champ now. And it's a perfect time for me to come back. And, you know, I'm better than I ever have been. And I'm real excited to get back to Cleveland and see all the boys at AIW. You know, John Thorne, Chandler Pickens, the guys at the office. They've always been real good, man, you know, since there's me, one of the first companies to really give me a big shot, you know.
Right.
It's I'm really looking forward to tearing the house down with Elgin and getting in there in front of that live ass Cleveland crowd, man. And I gotta bust out my winter coat, man. Winter coat has made an appearance. I'm excited, man. Anybody that's listening is coming to the show, look forward to seeing you. And if you can't, make sure you pick up the DVD or get it on demand from Smart Mark Video, because it's going to be awesome. They got a stacked show. AIW books good wrestling. That's their formula. They book good wrestling. Pretty simple.
Yeah, like we started making a 5-hour drive out from eastern Pennsylvania for the shows, and a really class organization out there. Like you said, Chandler Biggins and John Thorne, good guys. And man, we think it's worth the 5-hour drive. And like you're saying, their last show, man, they jammed that joint. I didn't think they could fit that many people in the Turner's Hall. And it's great to see good people
that's
being
awesome.
Successful.
They've become like the PWG of the Midwest.
It's like crazy, man. It's awesome, though, because it's good stuff going on out there, so it's nice to see.
Absolutely, man. I'm glad to see that, you know, the Midwest is my former home territory, so I'm glad to see that it's rocking and rolling, kicking ass.
Exactly. And then on Saturday, you make an even bigger return, CZW, 15th year anniversary. And finally,
man,
you'll be back in CZW, man, your old home.
Absolutely. First off, 15 years, brother.
That's crazy.
I need to celebrate 15 years in this day and age, man. That is so awesome. And it's pretty damn cool. We're celebrating 15 years of the black and yellow, the combat zone, and as you said, man, that's my home. My name is CCW, it always would be. And, you know, I bleed black and yellow. I love Comic Zone. You know, it's like you said, it's a home for me, man. You know, I did you there in July 2006, and I'm very, very, very proud of the work that I've put in there, and, you know, everything that I've been able to accomplish there, and I'm really excited to come to the 50th anniversary show. You know what I mean? We get to see some old friends, and see if we have some, like, kick-ass talent, just, like, carrying the ball now, and, you know, I get to get the ring and mix with, you know, Dick and Spinning at the Fox 56. I can see all the fans like Maine. Those fans, if Trump gets my world, like, look at this guy. Got somebody.
We're having a hard time hearing you.
You know, those fans were really special, man. And so I'm looking forward to coming back and seeing those fans and maybe making some new fans. And it's going to be a badass show, man. AJ Styles is going to be there.
Yeah.
So, you know, CZW at 15 years old is, you know, still bringing the fire.
Definitely, man. And it seems like since DJ took over, it's kind of got reignited and starting to really get on a roll again. Like, it was starting to kind of, I don't want to say get old and stale, but it seems like things are really starting to get on a roll again for CZW.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, around 2009, like, Zane Diggett kind of maybe lost his passion for it. I mean, he still loved the company, but he was kind of running out of energy in regards to promoting it and stuff like that. And
exactly.
I am so incredibly grateful to Jay. He took the reins and took over the company, and he's done things with CZW that, you know, we never thought were possible. And, you know, right out the gate, he bridged the gap with Japan, and that allowed me the opportunity and several others to go over to Japan and make a decent living wrestling in Japan, representing CZW, and, you know, I got to main event and haul out of it. It's just really awesome, man. DJ does good business. I appreciate him as a promoter and as a friend.
And I appreciate that he still flies you cross country once in a while to CZW so we could still see you live, man.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, man. It's crazy because, like, I'm one of the special guests this time. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm such a CZW guy. It feels, you know, when I was there month in and month out and week in and week out, you know, it's going to feel different for me to kind of come in as a special guest and just have fun and not have any pressure to, like, make sure things go well in other areas or anything like that. You know what I mean? I'm a special guest, but I'm coming home. So,
it's the one thing I'll say, like, some people work CZW and when they're not there, they won't really say anything about CZW because some people, you know, have their thoughts on CZW. But you, man, the whole time you were a regular, man, you were a flag bearer. And everywhere you went, you were CZW champion, defending the title all over the globe. And that was really something special for independent promotion in Philadelphia.
Oh, man, thanks. Dude, yeah, it was really cool. That year and a half that I was I had the strap at CZW, man, I had a lot of fun being the CZW champion. You know, I'd go to Germany, you know, go to Mexico or England, and everywhere I went, like, I was the CZW champion. You know what I mean? That's what I was advertised as. I defended the title, and I do other shows throughout in the country, like in Chicago or Indiana or in Florida or whatever, and I'd be like, yeah, I'd represent CZW as the champion, man. I had a lot of pride as, like, being the flag bearer of the combat zone and somewhat being an ambassador, you know, because it was quite a transitional time. So it was really awesome. And I got to, you know, I was fortunate enough to work with a lot of great talent during that 18 months, a lot of different types of talent that, you know, really made me look good, really made me be a credible champion.
Yeah, and you're one of them guys, man. You work all over the world, whether it's for WXW in Germany or Big Japan in Tokyo, Japan. You're living on the West Coast, working all indies over there now. It's, like, amazing how you're popping up all over the place. Like, a lot of guys don't seem to do that, you know?
Thank God.
But one thing recently, you decided to no longer do any death matches. Why don't you talk about that decision and coming to it?
Yeah, man. I mean, it wasn't anything in particular. I was several variables that went into it, and I was just thinking. I had a conversation with my wife too. A lot of you know I'm a father. I got a 2-year-old little girl, and I got a son on the way. He's here 2 months.
Congratulations.
And so I needed to tone that down anyway, for my personal life, my lifestyle as a parent and husband. But like, I thought back, I was like, man, what really do I have left to do in the death match? Like, I won one tournament of death. I won King of the Death Matches. I main evented Corbin Hall. I did 5 tours of Big Japan, you know, main event and every night doing that stuff. I worked with every death match guy I ever wanted to work with. You know what I mean? I was headlined pretty big stuff in Germany with death matches. I was the Ultimate Underground champ, IWA death match champ. Like, what else do I have to do? What else is there that's possible?
True.
And then around tournament last year, there was some issues that came out with like blood tests and stuff like that. And it just kind of brought this to the surface for me that, man, this is kind of a risky. I'm just kind of saying, but it's later I looked at it. I was like, man, what am I risking this for? I'm a good enough regular wrestler, you know, standard wrestler. And I can still get crazy doing, like, hardcore stuff, you know, chairs, tables, ladders, cinder blocks, jumping off all stuff or whatever, you know. But I don't need to bleed. I don't need to bleed on purpose. I don't need the landing pass. I have nothing against it, and it does that, man. I love it. I love watching it and respect each other because, you know, I mean, I did it for so long. You know what I mean? And I just felt like it was time to close that chapter in my career. That's basically it, man. There was nothing left to prove. Did everything I needed to do there. Now it's time to go on, kind of look at it, you know, the bigger picture.
Yeah, last summer when there was the that scare with the blood test, I think that opened a lot of people's eyes to how, like, easy everything, you know, could suddenly be like, holy shit, you know? You know, it takes, like, one person could be infected with something, and it's like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
But luckily,
pretty scary, man.
Luckily, you know, everybody turned out all right, and it was just a scare and nothing more, man.
Yeah, scared me enough.
Could imagine, man. You know, but one of the things that you work for Big Japan a lot, and one thing that you put out there that I thought was awesome is you and Danny Havoc did this video of like touring Japan, and I don't even know how I seen it. I guess it's out there for sale. You know the video I'm talking about, right?
Oh yeah. And, from the very, very first tour. Yeah,
and like, for like a fan, I loved it. I feel like I've been to Tokyo now or something, because I've never been there. Like, you guys with the Corrigan Hall and Riviera Steakhouse, I think it was like even like Bull Nakana's restaurant or something.
Yeah,
there was
awesome
stuff like that.
The first tour, it was, we didn't know if we'd ever come back. We wanted to capture whatever we could.
And that was like so fun, man. Is that like available through Smart Mark Video or something?
I believe so. I think it's called Drake and Danny Go to Japan or something like that, yeah.
If these people are listening to this and you've never heard that, definitely check it out, man. It's like the closest you'll ever be to being in Japan.
Drake than I am nowadays. But nonetheless, it's pretty spectacular.
There's nothing better than like a tour of Japan with Drake Younger and Danny Havoc as your tour guides, man.
Yeah. Pretty cool, man. Him and I got to tour there like 4 times together. Like, both of us there at the same time. It's pretty awesome, man. You know what I mean? We were just some normal dudes from the Midwest who wanted to come to CZW and, like, do some death matches. And we ended up, like, being a pretty big deal in Big Japan. That's pretty awesome, dude. You know what I mean? I remember him and I used to sit at his apartment and watch Big Japan tapes and be like, man, it'd be so awesome to work there someday. And they fucking brought us over and made it real good, and we fucking did death matches.
Dude,
how does that happen? That's pretty awesome.
I can't imagine working their schedule, because they work, like, every day, right?
There was day, like, one time we did, like, shows in 10 days during the stretch. And, like, man, sometimes it's, like, 4 to 6 nights a week, you know?
And it's not actually death match every night, right?
Not every night.
Oh my god.
And then you're getting on the bus, which doesn't have any heat or air conditioning. And like sometimes you're on like that trip from like Yokohama to Sapporo.
Yeah.
That's a 22-hour trip.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. Like, when you look at a map, Japan doesn't look like it's that big. Holy shit.
You gotta go north, it's the northernmost point in Japan, the North Island.
Wow, so, I never realized they were doing that
on
trips.
Take a boat and drive longer. It's crazy.
Wow. See, I learned something new today. I never realized Japan was that large and they did that longer trips. Wow.
Long, yeah, it's long. From north to south, it's really long. East to west, not so much.
Well, I have new respect for the Japanese. I thought they had it easy with no travel, you know? Jesus.
Oh, no, dude. It's travel every night.
Wow.
Dude.
So after all this time doing death matches, how's the body holding up?
I feel great. I feel fantastic. I really do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's stay in shape and go to the gym. And then, like, on active rest days, I'll do the DHP yoga. You know what I mean? Like, my body feels good for everything that I've been through. There are days when, you know, after, like, a triple shot weekend or something, you know, my hips or my back's a little rough. But, you know, I take pretty good care of myself, man. I think I, you know, chilled out with that stuff at just the right time so my body wasn't, like, permanently affected. I got some pretty badass scars, but, you know, other than that, like, I'm good, man. You know what I mean? Most times I, you know, wake up at 4 in the morning and hit the gym from, like, 5 to 6:30, and I'm, you know, that's just how it is, man. It's the way of life now. So I'm good, brother. I feel great.
That's good to hear. It's amazing, but that's good to hear, man.
Yeah, sure.
Jesus. Some scars for sure, man, but goddamn.
Yeah.
So, what was the reason that you ended up moving to California?
It was more personal reason. My wife's family's from Northern California, and she kind of wanted to be back for a while. So I figured, why the hell not? And then I was like, you know what, it's an opportunity for me to, like, start fresh in a brand new territory and, like, relocate like the old dudes used to do back in the day and relocate and try to light some fire in a new territory. And thank goodness it has worked out fantastic. I'm having the best period of my career by far ever. And it's really great, man. I love it out here. And then I still come out, you know, to the Midwest and East Coast time to time as well. And still do the foreign trips every now and again as well. So, oh man, it's just living the dream, brother. Day at a time. Some days are better than others, but you know, I always remember when I was just that little kid, just wanting to be in a wrestler. Man, I'm you know, I think about that. I'm truly blessed to do what I do.
I hear you. You haven't missed a beat moving out there, like you said, getting dates all over the place. What are the places you started working when you went out there as a APW for Roland Alexander, and he recently passed away. Why don't you talk about Roland for a couple minutes?
Yeah, Roland's a great promoter, man. Really great man. I started to form kind of a good friendship with him right before he passed, and I'm really proud of the stuff that I've done at APW. We're getting ready to start back up, actually, March 15th. In Daly City, California, APW starting back up. But,
oh wow!
Roland is such a you know, so great to work for, and you know, it's cool, man. He had he always spoke really well about me. He always appreciated my work ethic, and he used me as an example to some of the younger wrestlers. You know what I mean? About the training and their attitudes and stuff. And Marcus Mack, the booker at APW, such a good dude, good friend of mine, and he's got a lot of passion and love for the business. And he's taking it upon himself to keep APW going and keep the dream alive that so many have worked hard for in Northern California.
Yeah. And, as we mentioned earlier, man, you started working for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. And this past Friday night, you won a number one contenders match. So it looks like you're going to be getting another title shot with Adam Cole.
Yeah, man, it's ongoing saga of me in that title, man. It's pretty cool. Cool. But yeah, I got the opportunity in the ring was, you know, with the absolute best that do what we do. Ciro, Kyle O'Reilly, Johnny Gargano. You know, we went out there and, you know, threw it down, man. So we got out and it was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great how you got over, man. Like, from the very first time you, it was like perfect because you got to fight B-Boy first night in and like, two like always have classic matches. So like, whosoever decision that was like perfect to get you in and over. It worked perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. People just saw they saw my heart. They saw I was willing to do whatever it takes to put on a good show. And I think they appreciated that since then it's been on, man.
Yeah, I'll never forget sitting with Tom watching the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, your first match, and you came out. And I said to Tom, wow, I wonder how long it's going to take for him to be over. And by the end of the match, it was crazy.
It's like,
oh, yeah, man, that was awful. I'll never forget that night.
And I think it's awesome with all the talent that they book, and God knows the talent they have there, that here we are, world champion and the number one contender are both CZW guys out in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. It's like,
we sure are, man.
Awesome, man.
They do all right there at CZW.
It's like, you know, there's some people that, you know, are very negative on CZW for whatever reason. So I love it because it's like, people like that, it's like, oh, fuck off, you know?
And just recently, you know, Sammy Callahan, him and I, we worked on top there a good few months before he went on other things.
Sammy was another one that came out there and it's like, got over immediately. And it's like, now, man, he's signed. Like, I was so happy for him. It's like, great for CZW seeing stuff like that happen.
For sure, man.
It blows my mind they didn't take Adam Cole, too, though. It's like, what the fuck? You know? Crazy. But, this weekend, man, CZW, you're in a four-way with Biff Busick, Chris Dickinson, and A.R. Fox.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like I said, three of the guys that are just, you know, really carrying the ball at CZW right now. I've always wanted to mix it up with Fox ever since he came around in 2010. And Dickinson is over like Roper at the moment, and Busick's beast. So I think it'll be fun, man. It'll be fun.
Have you worked with any of them three before?
No.
No, so this will be fresh. That's awesome. Fresh matchups, all three of them, man. That's awesome, because all three of them guys are really, A.R. Fox, he's actually out in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla now, but even Biff Busick's like a guy that I think is going to be the next major star on the East Coast, so that's like something to look forward to, you know?
Who?
Drake?
Yeah, brother, I'm here.
All right, I thought we lost you there for a second. what did I want to ask you here? Worst injuries. What was the worst injury you got?
Almost losing my nipple. Terminal Death 6.
Wait, what was that again?
Almost losing my nipple at Terminal Death 6.
Oh, I remember that. I was there for that, actually, in person. Crazy.
It still stayed off, though. So that's good.
That's the most important thing. Only having one nipple makes you a lot less sexy, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It makes people ask a lot of questions.
Another thing you recently did is you returned to IWA Mid-South, which is back up and running. And
absolutely.
Well, you talk about IWA Mid-South, you got a lot of memories there.
Oh, a ton of memories there, man. That was the company that, you know, that gave me the stage to break out into a bigger audience. Ian Rotten's always really good to me and put me in great talent. And I'm glad that I stayed back up and running, man. So, you know, fantastic place for established workers and new guys to come in and do what they do, man. So it's very cool.
And recently you got to work with Christian Rose, who was one of the hot young kids coming up in the Midwest. Why don't you talk about that?
Oh, what a hungry worker, dude. He's so awesome, dude. He's got so much passion and so much fire. You could just tell he loves the business, dude. I want to mix it up with him again. Him and that whole clique, that, you know, Rick Bentley and Matt Cage and
yeah.
Marcus Crane, Corey Cook, all those guys, man, they're really kicking ass.
Yeah, it's like the next group coming up in the Midwest after you's old Naptown Dragon.
Dude, it gives me chills, dude, to see, like, those dudes are fucking hungry, you know what I mean? And they're like, yeah, we got chips on our shoulders, come fucking take them, man. Like, they're awesome. I love those dudes.
Makes you feel kind of old when there's young guys coming up and you're like the old veteran.
Oh, yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good.
We all got to get old somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's cool. We had Christian Rose on last week, and he had nothing but good things to say about you.
Oh, cool, man. He's got the future is bright for that young man.
Definitely, without a doubt. No doubt about it, man. And it's good to see IWA cool. Mid-South actually drawing crowds this time around, too.
Yeah, man, very cool. Very cool.
It's something they weren't known for the last go-around.
Hey, you mind if I plug a couple things before we wrap up?
Oh, hell yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, well, you guys connect with me on Twitter. My handle is @DrakeYounger317. I'm on Facebook as well, but I think I'm at 5,000 friends from it, so I can't really accept any more friends, I believe. But, yeah, you can connect with me on Twitter, @DrakeYounger317. I also have a t-shirt store online at prowrestlingtees.com/DrakeYounger. If you want to show some support, monetarily, greatly appreciate it. I got several designs on there, man. And you can get shirts from a ton of other wrestlers.
Yeah.
You can pick up my volumes 1, 2, and 3, my best any series, Smart Mark video, High Spots, you can catch me on the Kevin Speed show, that DVD just got released. I got a couple more projects in the works as well. Fight Spirit Pro here in California, we're going to show an interview and match series.
Yes.
That's, you can see where that's sspshoot.com. So anyway, you know, I got CZW and AIW this upcoming weekend. Next week, February the 15th, you can catch me at AWS, Alternative Solutions, in Southgate, California,
yep.
Los Angeles area. The next day, February the 16th, I'm at SPW in Sacramento, California, defending the SPW Heavyweight Extreme Championship. So check out SPW Sacramento and AWS on Twitter, on YouTube. Show some support, show some love for some West Coast companies that you might not be aware of that have awesome talent going on.
Yeah.
That's what I have here in the next 2 weeks.
You mentioned AWS. Finally, they're now available on Smart Mark Video, and we just watched one of their
they
shows,
are.
And that's really good promotion,
absolutely.
Man. And they've been around
you
forever,
know,
too.
On Smart Mark Video, you check out Hood Slam, Oakland, California.
There you go, yes.
Okay.
I've never personally checked out any of their shows yet.
You know, we draw like 700 people. I love
wow.
to be a part of it. It's great. Check out Hood Slam on Smart Mark. No words that I say can do justice. Just give it a check it out. That's all I gotta say.
I did get to see Dark Sheik when he came to the East Coast. And
he's awesome, man.
Yeah, he's a talented little kid, man. I was super impressed.
Yeah, for sure.
I was hoping we could keep him on the East Coast. Not send him back.
Yeah, he's a smart dude, too. He's a genius.
Yeah, I forgot about it. So another Cali promotion you just worked this weekend, Quintessential Pro.
Absolutely, man. Their DVD is going to be available on High Spots. They had a stacked show, and I wrestled Adam Thornstow from Reno, Nevada. He's a huge heavyweight champion. We tore it down, rocked the house, and they had a stacked card. You definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, and he got to make his debut at PWG Friday night. I haven't seen him yet either. I'm very interested in checking him out. I've heard good things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this Friday
thanks
night.
Thanks so much for having me. Man.
This Friday night, man, Michael Elgin, AIW, man. Don't miss that. Saturday night, CZW on iPay-per-view in a four-way four fresh opponents he never fought before, man. It's Drake Younger, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, man. We appreciate you taking his time to come on the show.
Thanks, Uncle Mike. I appreciate it, guys, and we'll have to do this again sometime.
Definitely, man. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
I want to tell everyone that you can get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial with Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. It is a consumer service that allows users to choose the audio versions of their favorite books. With a library of over 150,000 titles, users can purchase individual books or for real savings can sign up for an Audible listener program, which gives them book credits each month for a low monthly fee. Sign up for your free 30-day trial by heading to audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. And don't forget the /PWP Radio so you can get your free trial at audiobooks today. Joining us at this time on the line, making his first appearance in 2014, it's our pro wrestling guerrilla correspondent. You know him as Brian the Brain. And he's back here on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show. Welcome, brother.
Hello, hello. It's nice to be back, 2014. And it was quite the weekend this past weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially for you. Like, you had Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Friday and UFC Saturday, and obviously everybody had that Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, and everyone fell asleep in the fourth quarter like me.
I was going for the Seahawks, so I was loving it. You know, so I thought the Super Bowl was great.
Yeah,
bastard Peyton Manning cost me the Fantasy Bowl, so I was happy for him to feel the same pain, you know, that he caused me a month ago.
You know what, though? As great as Peyton Manning is, you'll still be a legend in my book, and I can't wait until he becomes an actor. I've said it right here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, at the end of the day, Dan Marino's a legend, and he never won a Super Bowl. Peyton's already got one, you know, so... And you can't argue with numbers.
Legend, but that's just me.
Yeah. But we're not here to talk about Peyton Manning. We're here to talk about a different P, pro wrestling gorilla. And how was it Friday night, man?
Man, I got to say, the crowd at PWG last Friday was probably the hottest crowd I've ever been a part of at a PWG show, and that took a lot. And it was one of those special nights, you know what I mean? Going in, you wouldn't think it was going to be a special night, but it just turned out to be. And I'm glad I sat in the part of the crowd where, because there's this one side of the crowd that got alienated from the rest of the side of the crowd because I guess we were a little too rowdy. Hmm. I'll call our section the Gargano section because before the show even started, we were chanting for Johnny Gargano like crazy because Johnny Gargano was having his merchandise all set up in front of our side of the ring. So, of course, we became the Gargano section. And it turned into this whole divided atmosphere. It was almost like recess, you know what I mean? It's like the fourth graders against the fifth graders, but it's just like different sides of the crowd. It was awesome, and it created this comedic atmosphere that just resonated throughout the night, and the energy was amazing. And even at 1 a.m. when the show was over, there was still like this buzz in the air, and like no one was really tired. Like everyone... As the show went on, like, the crowd didn't die. You think at 12:30 at night, the crowd would eventually die after all those beers and pitchers and all that stuff, but nope, we were still hot. It was an amazing crowd, and probably one of the best PWG shows ever.
And that's really saying something, one of the best shows ever. Another super no vacancy, too, huh?
Oh, yeah, and you're lonely. I tried to save Dez and Rudy some seats, but unfortunately, I couldn't do it. But it did end up in the second row, which is kind of cool. So it's almost getting front row, but, you know, not technically extra. So.
Yeah. Tough, man. Small building. Not a lot of room.
But totally worth it.
So, started off with a bunch of Johnny Gargano chants before the show even started, huh?
Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, our side of the building was so loud, it sounded like the whole building was chanting for him, but, I mean... I guess that's what you get for the acoustics in such a small building with, like, wood panels on the wall. So, thank God for that.
Yeah. DDT4, man, the annual tag team tournament, opened up with Best Friends taking on the Rockness Monsters.
Yeah, this was great because the ending is one of the most memorable endings you'll have in any match ever, I think. You've seen the pictures probably and like the clips on YouTube or whatever. I saw it there live. It was amazing. Trent was on Chuck Taylor's shoulders. He put on a trench coat the size of a 7-foot man would wear to chokeslam Johnny Goodtime off the top rope and also proceeded to do the 1-foot, giant pose as you pin the guy. And, what an ending to a match, you know what I mean? Like, the creativity and the thought process behind that, I can only imagine the conversation, like, when they're coming up with that spot, like, we're going to get a coat, I'm going to be on the shoulders, and we're going to chokeslam a guy.
Right? I can't wait to see that on video, man. It sounds like quite visual. It's awesome. Best friends end up victorious in the match.
Yeah, it was, going in, you would think they would make a semifinal run or something like that, but not the run they would have throughout the night, you know what I mean? And I think it's kind of rewarding for Chuck Taylor in a way, because he puts on these great comedic matches mixed with the high spots.
Right.
And it just stands out to me. Like, his matches stand out a lot more than a lot of the other matches of PWG shows just because of the creativity and the thought process he puts into his matches.
Exactly. But going into it, who do you think was going to win the whole tournament? Who was your pick?
I thought, the Unbreakable Machines would finally get their due run after, holding the belt for, they were tag champs for, half an hour, I think.
Right.
That's sure something, but I think, they're on almost every show anyway, and I think they could have, a great run as tag champs, but the way it's looking now, it looks like Best Friends is being groomed for that spot.
Yeah, I guess so. I'd agree with you. I think they were my pick, too. I definitely didn't pick Best Friends, I know that.
A lot of people did.
So then we had Unbreakable fucking Machines against pretty Peter Avalon and Ray Rosas.
This was, it was actually more even than you would think, actually.
Yeah,
it
just
something.
I just picture them having a blast throwing Peter Avalon around.
Well, that's exactly what happened, but there's these double team spots, like, well thought out, if you were the small guy trying to beat these two big guys, what do you do, you know what I mean? You gotta do 2-on-1, obviously, on each other, and, that's what the strategy was for Peter Avalon, Ray Rosas. So it's kind of cool to see him play that small role, but like the smart, you have to be smarter than the big guy kind of role, and it almost worked for a few cool spots and stuff, but we all knew what was going to happen at the end, and this was just one of those showcase matches for those two, Michael Elgin and Brian Cage, to just, show off their strength and just be the muscle machine that they are, because they certainly proved it in that match.
And it's perfect matchup for them to do that. And Unbreakable Machines end up getting a victory with the power bomb on Avalon. Elgin bomb, I should say. To advance. Then we had PWG champion Adam Cole and Kevin Steen. What were they? Cole Steen Cole was their team name, I guess?
Cole Steen Cole.
They took on Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan. And I kind of expected LeRae and Ryan to advance further into the tournament, so I was kind of surprised when they lost. But actually, I could have seen Cole and Steen winning too, so actually I was kind of like, I could see both of them teams going to the final, so I guess
yeah,
I should take that back.
It looked like Joey and Candice were almost going to be the ones to win DDT4, especially with the feud going with Mel Rushmore, but I guess they used it as like a device to feud with them more, as opposed to like rewarding them at the end with like a tag title shot or something like that.
Exactly.
Because I think they're building more, because they already had that tag title match, so like if they won DDT4, you would just only have that match again.
Yeah.
I think, it's obviously building towards Adam Cole versus Candice LeRae, you know what I mean? And that's...
Definitely.
That's going to be crazy, because I think she'll sell out the building, honestly.
Well, they sell out the building every show, so that's not fair.
That's true. You know what I mean? Like, there's you can tell there's 400 people, and you can tell there's, 400 and, 30 people or something like that, but I think she would make it standing room only, and just the idea of her challenging is so intriguing, you know what I mean? And this was a great match to use that, as a focal point, because it was obviously, she was the focal point more than Joey was.
Yeah.
And it should be. And, I think that a match between those two is inevitable. I mean, we were going to get it anyway last year, so... and it's cool to see Kevin Steen just be a bully, and I shouldn't say that, but, this character is just so, so perfect to work with Candice. You know what I mean? She's so small in comparison that it's just so perfect for his character to throw her around. That's the best way I can describe it.
Definitely. Without a doubt. And Colin Steen ended up getting the victory following a package pile driver and a super kick on Joey.
Followed by another super kick. It was like a super kick that led to a package pile driver that led to another super kick.
Jesus Christ. And that made Colin Steen advance. Colin Cole, if you will. And in the final first round match, it was Ricochet and Rich Swann taking on ACH and AR Fox.
Oof.
I couldn't even fucking imagine what this match was like.
Live, this was pretty amazing. Like, the crowd was so energetic because they knew this was going to be something crazy. And by the end, it was definitely, I think it's up there with, like, Match of the Night, just because of just the athleticism and crazy spots and all that kind of thing, and just the way they drew in the crowd. And it was kind of funny at the start, like, when ACH and Rich Swann got in, they made this joke, like, I'm ACH, and that's Rich Swann. We are not the same person. And, of course, if you ever watch I Love Lucy, but they had that, who's that old school comedian from, like, the 30s and 40s? I think it's Harpo Marx. I'm probably wrong on that. Yeah, you know that bit where, like, it's the mirror bit?
Yeah.
They're imitating each other. Yeah, that's exactly what ACH and Rich Swann did. So that's a classic moment. And just all kinds of weird, like, funny race jokes that you can only laugh at because it's them. That's all I can say about that. And mixed in with, like, some Dragon Ball Z references and high spots, it just made it to be this, like, crazy, energetic match that was just so spectacular. And then just, like, by the end of it, it's like, man, the Machine Guns still have another match later on tonight.
And Ricochet and Rich Swann end up getting a victory. Following, of all things, the top 44-50. Go figure. Who would figure that, right?
It had to be something like that. One day someone's going to do the 900 and just, you know, blow everyone away. We'll call it the Tony Hawk.
Man, four of the best high flyers in the business in one tag match. That alone makes me want to get the DVD.
But what's weird, though, is Dragon Gate USA probably booked this match, and I can't even remember. Or maybe, I don't know, something close to this match, right?
Possibly. They have so many matches like that with interchangeable guys, I don't even remember, you know?
Right. But here at PWG, it just, you know, it clicks for some reason. Maybe it's the crowd. Maybe it was the specialness of that crowd. Because that crowd was very, very special that night. So, thank God for the acoustics in that building, like I said.
But then again, maybe not, because ACH has only been in Dragon Gate for a handful of shows. So it probably wasn't the exact match. But I'm sure they booked something very similar.
Yeah, it feels like it.
That'd be hot in front of any crowd.
So then we had Tommaso Ciampa against Adam Dornstow making his Pro Wrestling Guerrilla debut.
Yeah, this was interesting. Like, Dornstow, it really has that CM Punk kind of look to him with, like, a leather jacket. So I guess, like, the crowd kind of, you know, oh, this guy's a badass kind of guy. So they kind of, like, he got over kind of quick with his character. And in the ring, he was pretty good, except, like, I don't know, maybe it just seems like he's just, like, using all the popular moves, if that makes any sense. Like, he did a lot of super kicks and a lot of, like, forearms and stuff. And I mean, he tried a standing shooting star press like Ricochet did.
Yeah.
But he landed on his head, and the crowd was like, ooh. And it was cool because the crowd didn't want to chant "you fucked up" at him, so they just kind of, like, you know, got a little, you know, noisier just to, like, rub it, you know, make it go away.
Right.
So that was kind of getting the crowd to do that. And it's also, I also got to mention about the crowd that night, no one chanted CM Punk, and no one chanted yes. And I think that says something about the PWG crowd, just saying.
Definitely.
And, yeah, so this match was, like, you know, a showcase match for Thorso, but it was kind of cool to see Ciampa do his thing. And Jimmy Chomp is such a badass. Like, he reminds me of, like, Austin in 97 right now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I think he could be at that level. And I think, I don't know if he can, one day, you know, maybe he'll challenge for the belt against Adam Cole eventually. Even if, I don't know, because I think Drake's going to beat Adam Cole for the belt eventually, because that seems like the only thing that you can do to reward the crowd. But this match was a nice, you know, it was a nice way to see Ciampa, like, not really dominate, but, you know, be like he looks like a number one contender kind of guy coming out of this match. And Thorstone did good. I was just thinking he's done, you know, mixed up his moveset a little bit.
Yeah, I've not had the privilege of seeing Dornstow wrestle. I don't think Uncle Mike has either. So I'm very interested in seeing the show to finally get to see him since he's a California guy and we don't get to see too many California indies out here on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting to check out. And Tommaso Ciampa, man, he's been on fire, without a doubt. So then we had Best Friends against Cole Steen Cole in a second round matchup.
Yeah, this was a wild brawl. Like, it was cool that they did a brawl kind of thing, because, like, it was very different from the other tournament matches. Because, like, at least the first, maybe even half the match was, like, a brawl, like, outside the ring. You know what I mean? And it was actually, like, the first half of the match that I think about it. And even to the point where they did dive, both, like, you know, best friends, you know, diving off the stage, you know, Chuck Taylor doing his commentary thing where he gets on commentary for, like, a few seconds, commentating on his own match. And, I'm even on camera, too, I think, when Adam Cole gets knocked into the crowd, and then he's just, like, sitting next to me, and I have to, like, help him up. So maybe you'll see me there, because I think you might even see me on camera, too, when All-Star Weekend finally comes out on DVD, and we'll see Tommaso Ciampa, you know, throw Drake Younger's shoulder into the little wall, and you'll see me, like, right next to him taking a picture, so.
Speaking of that show is shipping today, the same day this podcast.
Yeah, it was meant to be.
What? What'd you say?
It was meant to be.
Yeah, shipping the same day as this podcast, man. That's awesome. You know, two PWG shows available. Fresh PWG DVDs always make my week better.
So, yeah, this match was great for, you know, it tied in the whole Candace story, too, because Candace interfered at the end. Not really interfering, but, like, distracting Adam Cole enough so that they can get a cradle flash pin on Kevin Steen. And, you know, Kevin Steen and Adam Cole were pissed, of course, but it just, you know, it's building more towards that eventual Candace LeRae Adam Cole world title match that they just got to have at this point. And it was nice to see Best Friends go to the finals unexpectedly. And then, you know, when you think about it, you know, it's kind of made sense because, I mean, even in the finals, I don't know. I mean, maybe you could have done Adam Cole and Kevin Steen in the finals, but it just, yeah, it seems right with Best Friends because they're a fresh matchup.
Man, when Trent rolled up Steen for the pin, that had to shock the shit out of the whole live audience because I'm sure everybody expected Steen and Cole to win.
Right, and I remember some people jumping, you know, and it was kind of one of those, like, unexpected happy moments, like, holy shit, they're in the finals, like, you know, it's kind of cool to see, like, Chuck Taylor finally get his due in the main event, I think, in PWG, because, like I said before, he makes these crazy, neat comedy matches and throws in the high spots, too, and makes it so damn good, and he's finally being rewarded for it.
Which I want to bring up right now, because you mentioned them doing some commentary during this match. When we watched the Bola and the Chuck Taylor Kevin Steen match, where they brought up onto the stage and they kept taking turns doing commentary during their match. That was fucking phenomenal, man.
Yeah, I remember seeing it live and just thinking, like, this is going to be just so memorable on DVD. Just that visual and audio, you know, I think coming together and just, I mean, who does that? You know
right?
What I mean?
That was great. Only in PWG, man. So then we had the Inner City Machine Guns against Brian Cage and Michael Elgin. And once again, Jesus Christ, man. I can't even imagine how good this match had to be.
Yeah, it was probably up there with the other tag match with ACH and AR Fox, but probably second match tonight, but this probably had more heat because even before the match started, there was a Inner City Machine, or well, I forget what they were chanting, but like the dual chant, basically, you know what I mean, for the Inner City Machine Guns and the Unbreakable Machines, and just like for at least a good 5 minutes, the crowd wouldn't shut up just before the match even started. Inner City, and it was just deafening. It was crazy. I've never seen that in a PWG, like, show before where, like, the crowd was so loud before the match even started, like, you can't even hear the bell ring, that kind of thing. And, like, finally people started chanting, start the match, and then, you know, the match just started like that. But it's crazy to hear, like, a crowd that excited and hyped up from a match that was just announced, like, 20 minutes ago. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell? It was just the crowd, I guess, was just making that night special, and they just made that moment special. I guess they just took that moment and elevated it to a different level. Like, it reminded me of Raw, like, a month ago in Seattle when Daniel Bryan chant got louder and louder and deafening kind of thing. I was like, what is going on here? It was one of those moments. So I don't know if people are going to remember the chant beforehand or the match itself more, but combined it together, and it was quite a memorable match itself.
And it was the Inner City Machine Guns advancing with an assisted Yoshi Tonic on Brian Cage.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting too, because they possibly, I'm not sure if they did, but they possibly teased the breakup between Brian Cage and Michael Elgin, because they did like these two spots where, well, Michael Elgin knocked Brian Cage down, I think the other one was vice versa, so. And then, not being able to break up the Yoshi Tonic pin, so kind of tied into that. I'm not sure if they're going to lead to a breakup. I don't know, because I thought it was kind of weird they were teasing those breakup spots. Because you only see breakup spots months before they're going to break up, so.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do there. Maybe it's just a red herring and they did it for that night as like a kind of not an excuse, but like the reasoning that they couldn't beat the Machine Guns that night. You know what I mean?
You know. That would be an interesting match, Brian Cage against Michael Elgin. I'd be down with that.
I mean, they did it 2 years ago, but it wasn't like, and I remember that match having interference too, so like, and I remember that match almost getting to that level too, so hopefully if they do have another match and get to that level, because I can only imagine like the stuff they can come up with now than they could have come up with 2 years ago.
Yeah, if they want to feud them two, I'm all down with that.
Oh my God, yeah, them two together, that'll be amazing.
So then we had number one contender to PWG title four-way with Johnny Gargano, Chris Hero, Kyle O'Reilly, and Drake Younger. And again, with these four, like, fucking pro wrestling drill shows. I'm so jealous I can't beat her live.
Yeah, this match was very, very cool, because at the beginning it felt like watching two different singles matches at the same time, if that makes any sense, because they just did double lockups, and then, you know, it was just like they were wrestling two different matches in the same ring at the same time, so I thought that was kind of a different way to approach a four-way match as opposed to, like, everyone going crazy at the beginning, you know? Because they approached this match like a one-on-one match with four guys as opposed to a four-way match. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Like, the psychology behind it was more like a singles match with four guys as opposed to, like, everyone going crazy like a ROH four-corner survival, you know what I mean? Like, especially with all the technical stuff at the beginning, it was just crazy good. And the reaction for Drake Younger at the end was amazing, and everyone started chanting Next World Champ. So I think if you have to go with someone to pick to dethrone Adam Cole, it's Drake Younger. And I think if they put enough build in that match, it could be potentially like really memorable.
Drake Younger got the win with the Drake's Landing, and it's just amazed me how over Drake Younger is with the crowd. And I think he seems to be like the crowd favorite of everybody in the promotion at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Think about how great the match is going to be. Him and Adam Cole. Who would know him any better, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they might, I mean, they have to do a stip where they have to keep, you know, Mount Rushmore from interfering. So, I mean, my only guess is, like, the only thing logical in that really is a cage match. But it's been a while since they did a cage match in Reseda, and it takes some time, because especially with all those people there, you're going to have to do a second intermission and, like, have the crowd leave and then come back in. So, I mean, I don't know any other stiff that can, like, fit the situation, but it's got to be something where they got to, you know, prevent the interference. Because that's been the story, like, the constant interference.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know if the timing's right for the title change, though, man. It might be too soon. It seems like they haven't had this Mount Rushmore group together long enough, you know?
Right. I think they'll just drag it out a little more. I think what they can do is the Money in the Bank thing, where it's like, okay, I am the number one contender, but I'm not going to cash it in until, like, this date, like, far in advance kind of thing, which would be kind of cool, because then you can make the slow build.
They announced the next date for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in Reseda is March 28th, the week before WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
It'll be interesting to see if they do a show as part of WrestleMania next year up in Santa Clara.
I don't know about that, because I heard there's this, like, WWE-wide, what do you call it, ban, or, like, they made this deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the only thing they have banned, like, that they can, is, like, city and state-owned buildings. So, that, I mean, that, you know, you can't ban people from anything, but any city and state-owned buildings, they have got that successfully done. But that still leaves, like, a lot of buildings that these indies can run, but it's really a dick move by WWE.
But if anything, I think they should just run a show, like, a week before WrestleMania. I mean, I'm talking about WrestleMania 31, and, like, yeah, I think they should do that and then just not do it. Because there's just too much. I think there's so much hassle involved. You know, that people say it's the most lucrative time of the year. I mean, look at all the hassle it's going to cause all these promotions now to just be in the area. So,
But that's a year from now to worry about. We're in the present. Main event, man. Best Friends against the Inner City Machine Guns. The most unlikely, I think, final that anyone would have picked in the DDT4. And tell us about it.
Pretty good. I mean, considering that they were beat up, I mean, God, all of them were just so beat up after those crazy matches they had before. So, I mean, I think it's, like, it's okay that we understand that, like, it's a shorter match than usual. And then, because, like, by the time I knew it, like, it was 1 a.m., but, like, the four-way match ended at, like, 12:40. So this was kind of, like, one of the shorter tournament matches, all, you know, throughout the whole tournament. But it's understandable, like I said. So, I mean, they just, they went balls to the wall. They did all the crazy spots that they're usually doing, and it was a great show. And at the end, it was the awful waffle, and I remember just people in the crowd just looking at each other and be like, holy shit, the Best Friends just won DDT4! And people were like, had these smiles, and like, it was just genuine, like, moment of joy, you know what I mean, amongst the crowd, especially, like, my side of the crowd, which was the alienated side of the crowd, the comedy side of the crowd, I like to call it. And, yeah, man, just that moment of just seeing, like, Chuck Taylor finally, like, and Trent, too, man. Like, Trent coming in, like, less than a year later, he's already, like, main eventing a show, and no one really, like, expected a lot from Trent, and he's proving it now, and him and Chuck Taylor are the number one contenders, man, and it's really cool, and I'm hoping that, like, they win the belt, and they become, like, the team, because they, with their shtick, and, especially that spot, man, that double choke slam spot, that was just so cool. Like, they totally deserve it, man.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta, your DDT4 2014 winners. Good for them, man. Sets up them for the tag team title match.
Yeah, and I think they should win because the Bucks are in Japan a lot lately, so it makes sense that the Bucks finally dropped the belts. I mean, they've held the belt so many times and for how many days already, so, you know. They don't even need the belt at this point, I think.
Very true. I agree with you.
they don't need them.
Without a doubt.
It's not really insulting the tag belts. It's just, like, at this point, like, he's good enough that he doesn't need it. You know what I mean? Like, they can still do stuff with him. So, it's cool. Or maybe even do single matches for once. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things they can do with the bus without them holding the belts, so... I expect a lot from them.
There you have it, man. DDT4, Pro Wrestling Grill, another blowaway show, it sounds like.
Unexpected, too. Just going in, you would not think it was going to be this, you know, you knew it was going to be great, but not just, like, the level that it was. So, especially with that crowd, it just made it, you know, so special. It was just so loud and deafening in that building. It was unbelievably crazy. Louder than I've ever heard it. And it goes up there as one of the best PWG shows of all time. Not for, like, the matches were awesome, you know, that's a given, but I think the energy in the crowd and the energy, you know, throughout the whole show, it just made it that much more and made it that moment, or that moment when they won, especially at the end, Best Friends, just that much more special.
And DDT4 is one of my favorite shows every year. I'm a big tag team wrestling fan, and I think DDT delivers, like, every year, so no surprise.
That show of the year.
Yeah, like, it's up there. Awesome.
I mean, I think the only downside, though, is that I think I counted, like, 4 double downs that night. But, I mean, that's kind of a given in tag team matches nowadays.
Yeah.
Where they knock each other down for 30 seconds. But aside from that, you know, it was great.
That's awesome, man. March 28th, man. I'm going to do it again.
Of course.
DDT4, man. We appreciate you coming on, like always, man.
Thank you, man.
Could he hear me pretty good or no?
Yeah. You can hear Mike, right?
Yeah.
Good. It's good to hear.
You ever been to the famous Franklin Sun Arena where AWS runs?
Have you gone to any AWS shows?
No, I've always just read results and, like, seen that building, and it's just like, this has got to be one of the weirdest buildings to have a wrestling show in.
It's the arena.
Mm-hmm. We got one of their shows from Smart Mark Video, and it was really damn good, man.
The talent's good. It's just, like, just that background, I guess. Because sometimes, like, I've seen Frankenstein, where it's just, like, that background is just so...
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Their cars, like, are they actually, like, playing cards? Like, stuff like that. It's just, like, such a big building, and then just this small section cornered off. It's kind of weird, but it is what it is, independent wrestling.
The show we've seen was really damn good, man. Highly recommended through Smart Mark Video.
Stiff City.
Yo.
But yeah, man, we thank you for coming on again. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you on the internet?
You can follow me on Twitter at Brian, D-A, Brain. I've been doing graphic design work lately, or my last thing, I just did like a video where I took the Saturday Night's Main Event logo and combined it with DDT4, and then I made that this intro video where I combined the Saturday Night's Main Event theme to like the PWG footage, so that was kind of cool. So if you need an editor or like a graphic design guy in your wrestling company, maybe I can help you out. Just hit me up. We'll see what we can do. You'll see my work on Twitter, so there you go. And then occasionally I'll write for Pros and Ponderings, regardless of how people feel about that site, but I'm on the fence, so I love those guys. I love everybody, so it's all good.
There you go, man. He loves them all. He loves you, too.
He loves you. We love you, brother.
And we love having you on every month to talk pro wrestling gorilla.
Thank you. I love doing it.
All right, man. Until next time, thanks again. We want to thank Drake Younger, and we want to thank Brian the Brain for coming on the show this week, man. Always good stuff. Brian's a regular with us. Drake, first time coming on as a guest. Good stuff, good stuff. But now, man, let's talk about the news of the week. And I guess we got to start off first with Chikara being the news, I guess, of the week. As Chikara returns on Sunday, May 25th, 2014, to Easton, Pennsylvania. And as of right now, all ringside tickets are sold out, and they're proclaiming they have less than 100 tickets left available for sale. So I guess they're doing some gangbuster business, huh?
Holy crap.
Yeah.
And when did they go on sale?
I guess right after this show, National Pro Wrestling Day. They've been promoting on Twitter all week and on their website.
Wow, they did good.
And, man, I swear it was just yesterday I looked and they were selling second row. Now today they're only selling general admission and say there's less than 100 left. So,
wow.
If you want to be part of this shindig, man, you better get your tickets quick because you might not have a chance. And it's tough for us because we're going to Cleveland that weekend for AIW J-Lit and trying to figure out our schedule plans, man. If we'd be back in town in time for this Easton show or not, it's kind of rough because it's an afternoon show. As
what's that? That's a Sunday?
Yes. It's a Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., man. So, I don't know. No announcement if it's going to be on iPay-per-view or not yet. Believe it or not, I did get some personal emails from Mike Quackenbush this week, as he is a regular listener to the show. But I don't have any inside news for you or anything like that about if it's going to be on iPay-per-view or not. But, yeah, we'll find out soon enough. Hopefully it will be an iPay-per-view. I know that'd make it easier for us, and I think this would do gangbuster business. The first show back's a big deal. You know?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I agree.
But first, let's go over this National Pro Wrestling Day before we really talk about what's going on with Chikara. As they returned this past Saturday afternoon, I don't know if I should say returned, as it's a once-a-year deal. National Pro Wrestling Day was free on YouTube TV with the help of Smart Mark Video, man. And except for a couple of issues, the stream went off pretty much without a hitch. It's funny because one of the hitches was as soon as Michael Bennett appeared, Ring of Honor star, the iPay-per-view stream went out. And then it actually came back right after his match was over. So it was like Ring of Honor strikes again with the iPay-per-view stream.
Wow.
It's almost like you could write the jokes yourself. Crazy. But anyway, it opened with 2 out of 3 falls match, Colt Cabana against Drew Gulak. And this was really good. Really good stuff, as you expect from these two. A little bit shorter than I expected, but then again, it was the opener. As It opened up with Drew Gulak getting the first fall by submission with the Gulak. But then Colt Cabana came back and got the second fall with a submission with the Billy Goat's Curse. And then got a submission in the third fall with a variation of the Camel Clutch to win two falls to one. I thought it was very interesting to see the CZW World Champion booked in the opener of the show and doing a job by submission twice. Maybe that's like a shot at DJ from Quack for all his comments on the shoot interview he just put out. I found that very interesting. Oh, it just might be, you know, it might not actually mean that. It just might be a coincidence. But, you know, coincidences in wrestling. But good stuff, man. Both guys look great. And the crowd, man, let me tell you, the crowd at this show, they were jam-packed into the Easton Palmer Center, man. Like, I swear to God, I think they may have outdrew the show last year in Philly.
Did they say how many? About?
No, there was no number release, but, man, everywhere you look, there was just people packed into this place. And last year they ran in Philly, and it was more hype, more star power, and a whole bunch of promotions included. So it'd be pretty amazing if they outdrew that show this year, where it was definitely less hype, definitely less star power, and really only the Wrestling Is promotions talent involved in Colt Cabana and Sanjay Dutt, basically, you know? So good for them. Another sign that the indies might be on a little roll right now.
Good. Hope they get on a big roll.
In between the matches, Maria Canales was there, and she was promoting the donate money to the cause of the show, which was, I wonder if I can get it up here. I don't have it in front of me. I feel bad. Because they did a real nice cause for this show, and they got over $7,000 for it, and I don't have the name of it in front of me. I feel bad. But that's like the biggest thing of the day, man. Over $7,000 for charity they raised during this show. And that really should be the biggest story of all.
Yeah.
Who says wrestling fans don't care? Right?
Yeah.
So then they had a six-man tag. It was a Baltic Siege of Estonian Thunderfrog, Lithuanian Snow Troll, and the Latvian Proud Oak against the Block Party of the Brown Mourning of Belarus, the Proletariat Boar of Moldova, and Mr. Azerbaijan. And this was your typical Chikara six-way. Really fun. You know, all guys really worked well together. I thought it was pretty good. To me, it seemed like it was kind of rehearsed, like something they've gone over for weeks in practice. But it was fun. If you're into Chikara style of wrestling, you'll really enjoy it. During the match, they introduced the Estonian Thunderfrog. Had a new hammer. I don't know if he brought it out now or later in the show, but it was a big new hammer. But at the end of the match, let me see who won here.
Actually, I think towards the end of the shows or whatever, didn't the hammer break on one of them?
Actually, the Baltic Siege won the match. The hammer, I believe, actually, was it the hammer spot came out later? Let me take
you remember when it broke on the one show?
Yeah. So they had a brand new hammer.
So maybe that's why you got a new one.
Yeah, so they had a brand new hammer. The Baltic Siege ended up winning. And a couple things I wanted to say is the Estonian Thunderfrog continues to really improve in of all of the newer students and these goofy gimmicks, I thought Thunderfrog has been one of the best looking of all the guys in the ring as he gets better every month. And I get a kick out of the whole hammer gimmick where, like, nobody can move it and only he can. Like, it's this real heavy thing. I love that. I think it's tremendous. And the Lithuanian Snow Troll I thought looked really good in this match. It was another guy that I'm going to keep my eyes on. I liked a lot. So then, after that, Colt Cabana came out, and they had the 2013 National Pro Wrestling Day ambassador, he was. He came out to present the 2014 Ambassadorship Award to Mike Burns, owner of Smart Mark Video.
Ooh.
The 2014 Independent Wrestling Award for all that Smart Mark Video has done for independent pro wrestling. I thought this was very much well-deserved and a very nice gesture for them to do. And
cool.
Smart Mark Video, Mike Burns, and everybody involved, man, definitely deserve this. And without Smart Mark Video, I can't even imagine what independent pro wrestling would really be like, you know?
We would have committed suicide.
The idea of Rob Feinstein or that video still leading the way, that's a scary thought, you know?
Now, standing goal for the boys at Smart Mark.
So then we had the aforementioned Hollow Wicked versus Mike Bennett match. Can't really comment on it because the pay-per-view stream was down for the whole match. Thanks, Ring of Honor. But apparently Hollow Wicked won with the Char special. Marie was back out to let them know, everybody know, they hit the goal of the donations because their actual goal was like $5,000, and like I said, they went over $7,000. Then we had Eddie Kingston versus Dasher Hatfield. As it was originally scheduled to be Eddie Kingston versus Biff Busick, but he was not there due to injury. You know, Dasher Hatfield and Eddie Kingston had a really good match. I think the best part of the match was a child started kicking at Kingston. And afterwards, Kingston like tried to fight with the kid, and the kid tried to kick them. He ran away, and he got Atlas Security. It was just an awesome little moment, man. Eddie Kingston rules.
Oh, my God.
And if you didn't listen, Eddie Kingston was on this very show 2 weeks ago in a fantastic interview. I think one of the best shows, one of the best guests we've ever had. One of the best shows we've done. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend going back in the archive and checking it out. But in the end, Dasher Hatfield got the upset victory.
What injury does Biff Busick have?
I'm not sure, but I don't think it's anything major, you know?
Big.
So, I don't think it's anything to be concerned with.
Cool.
He is scheduled to be at CZW this Saturday night. Post-match, Kingston got angry and says Chikara is dead as the crowd was chanting Chikara when he walked out. Next up was Eric Corvus against Sanjay Dutt. And this was fine. I like seeing Sanjay. The same way we don't see Sanjay Dutt more often. And he missed the moonsault and Eric Corvus got the victory. Next up was a no disqualification match pitting Shenron versus Juan Francisco de Coronado. And this is one of those, another one, actually there were some iPay-per-view issues, stream issues during this match, which kind of upset me because I missed the beginning of the match. I'm a big Shenron fan, as this kid could fly around like nobody's business. But it came back in time to see the second half of the match and Shenron get the victory. And cool stuff, as Shenron's definitely a dude to look out for in 2014.
Oh, yeah.
So then that brought us to the main event of the evening, as it was Wrestling His Heart's La Copa title on the line when champion Joe Pittman defended against Heidi Lovelace. And they were having a decent little bout. And big fans of both. Talk a lot about Heidi Lovelace on the show. But Joe Pittman's another really good guy that can really go, that deserves to get all the work he can get. He deserves to get his name out there. He's pretty decent. But they were having their match. Heidi Lovelace got Joe Pittman in a submission and looked like she was going to win the title when everything got interrupted by Dr. Cube, the BDK, the guy Keto, Dr. Cube's crew, the Call the Extreme Force, Auditorium, and the Wrecking Crew. The Submission Crew came out of the stands, the standard for Chikara, but they got beat down. The Rudo team was led by Jimmy Jacobs, believe it or not. As they had some mask guys and whatnot, Jimmy Jacobs pulled off a mask and started cutting a promo on the crowd and the other guys. But then Icarus, the Colony, and a whole bunch of other Chikara guys all came out the curtain to defend Chikara. And Dr. Cube's crew were also Chikara guys in disguise. And they went after the Rudo faction. It turned into this big, giant brawl all over the building. And because Lost Ice Creams got involved, Baltic Siege, Ultra Manus, the Batiri, and the crowd was just going ballistic for this. Then all of a sudden, a DeLorean of all things pulls into the building from the old Back to the Future movies. The doors open up, and it's Archibald Peck and 3.0 come out of the DeLorean. The crowd totally erupted for that, and this led to the Rudos retreating and everybody celebrating in the ring, And then Icarus holds up a piece of construction paper that had the date of 5/24/14 on it and says, "We're coming back." Leonard Chikarson has said in commentary that Chikara is back. And let me say this, man. No matter what you think of Mike Quackenbush or the angles Chikara does or anything else, on this day in this crowd, I've never seen such a huge pop where the crowd's so into something as this guy. Got to give him credit, man. That's something that'll never be forgotten if you were there in the building or watching on the stream. No matter your thoughts or opinions on this whole angle and the whole last year, man, the payoff was pretty goddamn incredible. And something won't be forgotten. And then after that, they had a surprise main event as they had a bunch of Chikara guys, as it was the Call of Need, Siren Portal, and Icarus against the Lost Ice Creams and the Battiri. And end up, the Colony, Osiris Portal, and Icarus won when Icarus submitted El Hijo del Ice Cream with the Chikara special for the perfect ending to the day. And crowd went home happy. And, man, it's been a buzz all week that Chikara's back. And that's what went down on National Pro Wrestling Day.
Cool.
And Chikara's back, and that's good because despite everything with the storyline, I just want to see good wrestling, you know. And Chikara always did a great job of putting on great shows. And one of the things about Chikara that I think is really good is they've always been great stage for young up-and-coming guys to get the spotlight, to get their name out there that people haven't seen or heard from before. And that's something that's really been missing in the last year because wrestling just didn't have enough popularity, you know, or viewers to really pull that off. And Chikara does. So if that alone is a good thing for Chikara to be back, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But again, you know, Mike Quackenbush did interviews on PW Insiders this week and Figure Four Daily. And as we're recording this today, he actually did PW Torch, too. And I listened to the Insiders and the Figure Four Daily one. And he's saying that this whole thing was a work from the very beginning. Whether it is or not, I think it's kind of hard to wrap your head around the idea that this entire thing has been a work from the start and all planned out. But at this point, I don't really care. Let's just get back to good wrestling shows, you know, and let's get May 25th here, and let's get rocking with good shows and see what happens, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So they're back May 25th, 3 p.m. in Easton, and it'll be very interesting to see how the year plays out for Chikara and how things go after this first show to see if they've gained popularity or lost popularity. It'll be interesting to follow as a fan of the wrestling business going forward. But that's where we stand with Chikara.
They'll do good.
Yeah.
They'll do fine.
Definitely. And I'm sure, I mean, ultimately at the end of the day, I think it comes down to financing and what kind of money they have to run these shows. That's going to be the main thing, you know. Quack was pretty much forward saying that Chikara has not made any money in the past and that they had to change things up or Chikara wasn't going to be around. And I've stated this in the past on this show because I've been privy to a few of these Chikara mass emails that he puts out. So I know, like, financially, I mean, it's a struggle for all independent pro wrestling, you know. So I know they've struggled, too. So hopefully they've got the finances to make this work and put on good shows that everybody enjoy going forward. And then we'll all enjoy them. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So moving on. Other stuff going on, man. Ring of Honor. Let's talk some Ring of Honor. As they've announced AJ Styles will be on the February 21st and 22nd show in Philadelphia for the anniversary show and TV taping, and they announced that he'll be in Dayton, Ohio on March 22nd. They've also announced that coming up on Saturday, February 22nd, they're going to be doing the first ever HonorCon, where they're going to be having a convention in the afternoon at 1 p.m. at the Armory in Philadelphia, with all the wrestlers on hand for autographs and Q&As and all kinds of good stuff. It's actually free. It'll be 1 p.m. Or they're selling a $60 ticket that guarantees you autographs and a free T-shirt at the convention. They've also announced the Young Bucks return on March 7th and March 8th for Ring of Honor. Which, that's cool, because a lot of the upcoming Young Bucks dates have been canceled because they're going to be on tour in Japan. So apparently that won't be the issue in Ring of Honor, and they will be back March 7th and March 8th.
Good.
I agree. They've also announced that Tommaso Ciampa is going to be doing a tour over in Europe, and that for the first time ever, he'll be defending his Ring of Honor title outside of a Ring of Honor, as he is the TV champion. On February 28th, he'll be defending the title in Germany at WXW against Two-Face. And on March 2nd, he'll be defending the title, if he's successful on February 28th, against Chris Travis at Southside Wrestling.
Wow.
And speaking of Ring of Honor, this is what they got scheduled for the anniversary show in Philadelphia on February 22nd. As they'll have an 8 p.m. bell time that Friday night. And you will see, main event, Adam Cole will defend the Ring of Honor world title against Chris Hero. And a first time ever battle in Ring of Honor will be AJ Styles versus Jay Lethal. And for the Ring of Honor World TV title, Tommaso Ciampa defends against the 2014 Top Prospect Tournament winner, Hansen. Plus a whole lot more. It's funny though, on their website they do have it listed as an iPay-per-view. But I do not think that's going to be happening, but that's funny to see on their website.
That's good.
But it is an 8 p.m. bell time. And then they'll be back the following night after the convention with a TV taping in Philadelphia. And right now announced is Michael Elgin versus AJ Styles.
Ooh, yeah. So he's going to be on TV.
Who, me?
AJ.
Oh, hey. Well, yeah, he was on TV this past weekend against Roderick Strong, actually.
Oh.
Which I haven't got to see yet. I'm waiting. It goes up on Ring of Honor puts the TV up the same day this podcast comes out, so we haven't been able to see it. But it'll be up tomorrow, so we'll check it out this weekend.
Okay.
One thing I want to say, though, is I watched last week's Ring of Honor TV, because the last week's show was from the Nashville Fairgrounds, too. And one thing I noticed watching the show is TNA did an amazing job. That Nashville Fairgrounds is a really tiny building. Like, really, I don't think it's any bigger than the ECW Arena, except it's got, like, and upstairs bleachers on two sides, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, when you watch the old TNA pay-per-views, man, it seemed like it was a pretty decent-sized building, you know?
I think it's just who painted the walls. Dixie painted it, really.
Yeah, Dixie Carter, and she knew the secret, right? She painted the walls.
Back in the day, ain't it? Remember that?
Yeah, with her own hands, her and Jeff painting the walls.
I remember
when people mentioned Dixie.
That's why it looks so good.
But yeah, that was my biggest thing. I couldn't believe how small the goddamn place was, man, on Ring of Honor TV. I was shocked. Shocking, I tell you. So yeah.
Yeah, because you're right, that came across pretty big on TV.
Yeah, it really did.
I'm shocking you say that. Maybe it's just the way they set it up, though, too.
Definitely. But you got to give them props for making that place look decently major league, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah. Well, I just got a reminder on my iPad saying Mick Foley on Access TV tomorrow at 10 p.m. on the Gotham Comedy Special. I'll have to go DVR that.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Also today, speaking of Ring of Honor and a surprise, they have an article up on WWE.com about Ring of Honor and the guys that have worked both promotions, man. How's that for a surprise?
Oh, I know Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards aren't two of them.
So they're definitely not guys mentioned, I guess. Because I didn't actually go read the article yet, but it's up there. I seen it, man.
Yeah.
In other news, ECWA announced that Super 8 2014 edition will be April 5th. In Newark, Delaware, at the Boys and Girls Club.
April 5th?
Yes.
That's my mom's birthday.
There you go. You can take your mom to ECWA for her birthday.
That'd be today.
Matt Cross has already been announced for that.
Four? He's one of the eight?
Yes.
Huh. he should be the one winning it then.
Yeah, Super 8, not exactly what it used to be. But it's still going. Haven't watched the last couple, actually.
Well, I know the one. We didn't even know anybody on the line except for, like, one person on the one show.
Yeah, that was last year.
it was either last year or the year before. I know there was one where we only knew, like, one guy out of all of them.
Also announced just today, after a one-year absence, IWA East Coast will be returning on March 15th.
To
Nitro, West Virginia.
Ooh, Nitro, West Virginia.
Yeah. And on the show that night, the IWA East Coast title will be on the line with champion BJ Whitmer defends against Michael Elgin.
Wow.
The JCW World title will be on the line on that show when champion Rude Boy defends against Madman Pondo. And in a High Flyers battle, it's going to be one-on-one, Facade versus ACH.
Wow.
IWA East Coast, Saturday, March 15th, Nitro, West Virginia, at the King's Outreach Center. First show in a year. They haven't ran since last March, man. How about that? It's
been that long since they ran?
And we still have last March show DVD on our spindle of shows to get to.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, I know that we had one still that we had to watch.
Yeah, I guess we can get to it. We got a reason.
Yeah, we got to catch up. We got a year's worth.
So that's good for IWA East Coast. Let's see if there's anything else going here on in the news that we need to touch on. I think that might cover it all, man. I think so.
That's it.
Yeah, I think that's everything we needed to talk about. So what do you say we get to these, what went down last weekend? What's coming up this weekend?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, let's do this thing, man. Let's start off with last weekend. We already talked about last Friday, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla return. We already talked about that with Brian the Brain.
Yes.
So we could skip over that. And we already talked about National Pro Wrestling Day, so we could skip over that. Quiz Essential Pro return this past Saturday night with Well Worth the Wait, the Monrovia, California. They let their fans know before the show started. Adam Pearce was at the show but had to leave and drive home due to a family emergency. Whatever that was. So, it was the Realist Ninjas of Willie Mack and B-Boy. They defeated the Rockness Monsters.
Wow.
Brian Cage defeated Nick Madrid. It was cheerleader Melissa defeating Joey Ryan via submission.
Well, hey, that's great.
It was Kyle O'Reilly defeating Brian Kendrick. And a surprise, since Kevin Steen was scheduled to fight Adam Pearce and he wasn't there, a surprise unannounced replacement was Chris Hero.
Whoa.
He took on Kevin Steen in an unannounced match, man. If you were there in Monrovia, doesn't get much better surprise than that.
Aren't they scheduled to fight each other to on something on Ring of Honor or something, right?
Off the top of my head,
not too long ago where they're supposed to fight each other.
I don't know. I can't think of nothing off the top of my head, but I could be wrong.
I thought it was something for Ring of Honor.
I mean, Hero's fighting Adam Cole coming up at the anniversary, like we were saying a couple minutes ago. I'm sure they will do that match sooner than later, but it got done here.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Steen ended
That's
up victorious.
Great. Nothing against Adam Pearce or whatever happened, but there as a fan, I know I'd be happier to see that match.
And I'm sure most of the people listening to this podcast agree with you 100%.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Then it was Christina Monteri teaming up with Candice LeRae, and they defeated Pretty Peter Avalon and Ray Rosas.
Oh, I bet you that was fucking great.
I can imagine. And in the main event for the Quintessential Pro title champion, Adam Dornstow successfully defended the title, defeating this week's special guest, Drake Younger, to retain. And that's what went down in Monrovia. Quintessential Pro, man. always put on good shows. The last couple are available on YouTube for free to check out. No word on if this will be on YouTube or on DVD. Definitely keep your eyes out for it. Sounds like a really good show.
Do they have any of their stuff on DVD yet?
No, as far as I know, the first two shows were on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, what
has every show been good?
Because the first show they had the Frankie Kazarian and Chris Daniels on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. But every show they've run so far has been real good.
Yeah, definitely. It sounded like it, that's for sure.
Yeah. The lineups on paper have sounded excellent.
And then finally, this past Friday night, Dreamwave returned.
Ooh.
To LaSalle, Illinois.
Yes.
And here's what went down. In a pre-show match, Rough Crossing defeated Nate Knox, and Chris Castro defeated Bucky Collins. On the main show, it was Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin defeating the debuting Rich Swann and his partner Lince Dorado.
Holy shit.
Dan the Man was on his way to the ring when he was attacked by Waylon Beck. Waylon proceeded to brutally attack Dan the Man and duct tape him to the ropes. He then played the video of Dan the Man's gruesome injury. With Dan the Man helpless, Waylon then dumped his beer on him and zapped him with what appeared to be some sort of livestock or cattle prod. This brought out Jay Repsel, who begged Waylon to stop. Waylon told Repsel that he wanted Dan the Man's blood, which led to Repsel making Dan the Man versus Waylon in a first blood match for Anniversary 5 on April 12th.
Wow.
And on a note, Dreamwave owner and booker Jay Repsel was supposed to be our guest last week on the show, but had to bow out at the last second, which is why we had Christian Rose on instead. And we will reschedule that interview with Jay Repsel and have him on in the next month or two, as Dreamwave is really starting to get on a roll. So we definitely want to have him on to talk all things Dreamwave. So look for that in the next month or two. Matt the Money Cage defeated Malachi Matthews. Post-match, Cage demanded some respect in a big match at Anniversary 5. His wish was granted, as he'll face Prince Mustafa Ali.
Real good.
In the alternative title match, Reed By God Bentley successfully made his first title defense as he defeated former champion Marche Rocket with the help of Angelus Lane. Nick Brubaker and Johnny Gargano went to a draw when Brubaker hit a super overdriver off the top rope, but both men's shoulders were on the mat for the three count. In a pre-match promo by the Young Bucks, they said they would not be able to make it to the anniversary show as previously announced due to their Japanese obligations, but that whoever wins the next match should keep the belts warm because there will be a super kick party in LaSalle this summer.
Wow.
So then Helter Skelter, who are the tag champs, then successfully defended the titles, defeating Sports Entertainment, Zero Gravity, and Foreign Affairs in the No DQ Tag Team Scramble match to retain the titles. Post-match, Team AC/DC, Darren Corbin and Eric Cannon attacked Helter Skelter and demanded a tag title shot at Anniversary 5.
Cool.
Then in his debut, Unbreakable Michael Elgin defeated Shane Hollister. It's good to see Michael Elgin in Dreamwave.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael Elgin was accompanied by J.C. Costilli, as he says, this is the man that will end Christian Rose's undefeated streak and take his title in Dreamwave Wrestling.
Oh.
So that means they're going to a future Elgin Rose match. Will definitely be good. Dan Lawrence defeated Maxwell Chicago.
Ooh, Maxwell Chicago was on.
And in the main event, Christian Rose defended the Dreamwave Heavyweight Championship against AJ Styles. They ended up going to a no contest. Rose had Styles in the no-leaf clover just as Styles was going to tap. Michael Elgin and J.C. Costilli interfered in the match, attacking both men. I kind of messed this up, but this revealed Elgin as the guy Costelli has been talking about in it, to end Rose's streak.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, they didn't mention JC Costelli as Elgin's guy to the end of the show.
Oh.
And that's how the show ended. Upcoming shows coming up March 1st is the Road to Anniversary with the Misfortune Lethal Lottery. And then Anniversary 5 with announced special guest Jeff Jarrett will be on April 12th.
Cool. That would be real, real good. I'm shocked. There's a name I didn't hear on this show.
What was that?
Good young kid by the name of Justice Jones.
You're right. He wasn't on this show.
I'm shocked. Because he's looked, what we've been seeing lately, I think he's been looking real, real good. That kid's good.
Speaking of Dreamway, we've actually, this show we just reviewed, believe it or not, is up and already available on Smart Mark Video as of this afternoon.
Huh.
Which, man, Mike Robles is unbelievable. Getting these shows out. This show happened Saturday, and it's already edited and up to watch on Smart Mark Video, man. In just 4 days. That's fucking awesome. And speaking of Dreamway, we watched The Fight Before Christmas, their last show of the year, last night. And I thought it was a really good show.
And we also saw, what last week? For the Gold. What the fuck was it?
Oh, was that The Fight for the Gold or something like that?
Yeah.
They had
good
a Royal
show.
Rumble with the winner getting a title shot. And Dreamwave's had a pretty decent year. They got some really good guys. They got some decent good name guys and some decent local guys. You were just saying, Justice Jones, man. This is a dude, if you've ever seen him before, he's got some really good size on him. And he's the type of guy I think can have a really big future.
Oh, big time. I think he's going to be a big star in Dreamwave.
Definitely. Just one of them guys that needs some time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just more ring time, and I think the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, Dreamwave's been kicking, man.
Yeah, and the show we watched last night, they had Corbin and Cannon against Zero Gravity was really good.
Yeah.
Chris Castro, one of their locals, Chris Castro, got to work Ricochet. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
Hero Ali.
Yeah, Hero against Prince Ali was really good. Marche Rocket, Reed Bentley was good. Matt Cage against Nick Brubaker. And Christian Rose defending against Shane Hollister.
Mm-hmm.
Really good show, man. We're checking out on smartmarkvideo.com.
Yes.
And that was Dreamwave Wrestling, man. That's what went down this past weekend. And let's talk about what's going on this weekend now, as we will start off with Friday night. AIW returns this Friday night with another loaded show. Thank God it's Friday. Perfect name this Friday night. Cleveland, Ohio, 7:30 p.m. bell time at the Turner's Hall. And listen to this lineup. As it will be main event, Michael Elgin makes his first AIW championship title defense against Drake Younger.
Whoa, man.
Lewis Linden defends the Intense title against Johnny Gargano.
Real good.
One-on-one in a death match, it'll be Danny Havoc against Tim fucking Donst.
In a death match?
Yes. For the AIW Tag Team titles, the champions of Jollyville Fuckets defend against the Hooligans this Friday night.
That'll be great.
One-on-one, first time ever, Kyle O'Reilly versus Bobby Beverly.
Ooh.
For the AIW Women's title in a rematch, Allison Kay defends against Vita Scott. One-on-one, it all started the last two shows, and they'll go head-to-head this time around, Kevin Steen versus All Ego Ethan Page this Friday night.
Real good.
In a match with special guest referee The Duke, Nixon explodes as AIW announced there is one contract and the winner of this match will get it. It'll be Eric Ryan versus Ricky Shane Page.
Oh, don't say that.
Winners in, losers gone this Friday night.
That's not right.
And in a six-way battle, it'll be Ty Colton versus Colin Delaney versus Flip Kendrick versus M-Dog 20 Matt Cross versus Tyson Dukes versus Davey Vega this Friday night. Tyson Dukes making his AIW debut.
Cool, cool.
Plus, the ever-famous Moore going to be there in Cleveland this Friday night. Get your tickets, man. Last month, AIW sold out for their last show of the year, so get there early, as this is one loaded lineup this Friday night in Cleveland, Ohio.
Sounds good.
And the only other major show going on this Friday night is WSU is going to be having their third secret show at the CZW Academy, and the announced main event, Jessica Havoc, will defend the WSU world title against Shauna, the Perfect Princess, this Friday night.
That'd be good.
Moving on to Saturday, man. Saturday's got a bunch of stuff going on. So let's start at the top. Ring of Honor, this Saturday night, returns to the state of Texas. San Antonio, Texas, with state-of-the-art this Saturday night with, let's see, what time is this bell time? 7:30 p.m. bell time. Main event for the Real World Championship. Real champion Jay Briscoe defends against Ring of Honor champion Adam Cole. Four-corner survival match. It'll be Tommaso Ciampa versus Michael Elgin versus Jay Lethal versus Mr. Wrestling Kevin Steen.
Look out.
In a Proving Grounds match, it'll be the Red Dragons taking on Adrenaline Rush. Obviously, if Adrenaline Rush wins, they'll be in line for a tag team title shot.
Cool.
BJ Whitmer goes one-on-one with Raymond Rowe. It'll be Jimmy Jacobs one-on-one with Cedric Alexander.
Ooh, baby doll.
Michael Bennett will square off with Mark Briscoe. And Caprice Coleman goes one-on-one with the Romantic Touch. All this Saturday night in San Antonio, Texas. Ring of Honor.
Sounds good.
Also this Saturday, CZW returns with a doubleheader with WSU. First, CZW on iPay-Per-View this Saturday night through RFVideo.com or CZWiPay-Per-View.com will present their 15th anniversary, 15 years of CZW. In the main
good monument.
What was that?
That's a big monument for independent wrestling.
Right? I mean,
15 years, man. That's a statement.
In the main event, the CZW World Title will be on the line with champion Drew Gulak defends against the returning AJ Styles.
Wow.
The CZW Wired title will be on the line when champion Devin Moore defends against the Bulldozer Matt Tremont.
Ooh, that's a weird one.
The tag team titles will be on the line when the champions the Beaver Boys defend against Azrael and Bandito Jr., Murderers Row.
Real good.
In a four-way tag team bout, it'll be the Front versus Juicy Product versus Nation of Intoxication versus the Irish Airborne.
Ooh, real good.
In a four-way singles match, it'll be Biff Busick versus Chris Dickinson versus A.R. Fox versus Drake Younger.
Holy fuck.
One-on-one, Joey Ryan versus Greg Excellence.
Cool.
And it'll be Christina Von Erie one-on-one against Candice LeRae.
Plus,
DJ High will have a huge announcement impacting the Tournament of Death. And it'll have a new announcement of a new entry into the CZW Hall of Fame, plus Tommy Dreamer in attendance. CZW 15 is Saturday night, 8 p.m. Well, they say 7:30, but it never really starts at 7:30. CZW 15, available on iPay-Per-View.
Keep your eyes open and your ears peeled, right?
Yes. And that afternoon, also on iPay-Per-View, WSU will have an afternoon show.
Now, that's not iPay-Per-View?
That also is on iPay-Per-View, and both are available to pre-order right now as you're listening to this. We won't be offended if you pause us and go order both shows. Or go get your tickets to both, trust me. But here is the lineup for WSU this Saturday afternoon with a 4 p.m. bell time. available on iPay-Per-View. In the main event, in an international dream match, if Jessica Havoc is still champion, it'll be for the WSU title, as she will take on the debuting Alpha Female. And if you've never seen Alpha Female, trust me, you don't want to miss this match. In a Queen and King of the Ring qualifying match, it'll be Shana and Chris Dickinson taking on Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan.
Real good.
The WSU Tag Team titles will be on the line when the champions Midwest Militia of Allison Kay and Sassy Stephanie will defend against Kimberly and Annie Social.
They're going.
The WSU Spirit title will be on the line in a title versus mask match as champion Marty Bell will defend against Xavier Suena.
Wow.
We are going to get a new champion running unmasking on iPay-Per-View this Saturday afternoon. In a number one contenders match, it'll be Lufisto returning to go one-on-one with the returning Athena.
Real, real good.
One-on-one, it'll be Jules Malone taking on Mickey Knuckles. Jenny Rose will go one-on-one with Vita Scott.
Another good one.
And in a pre-show match just for the live audience, the NWA Women's title will be on the line when champion Barbie Hayden defends against Santana Garrett.
Oh, God. Like, you can't put that on, you know?
Well, maybe that might be because Santana Garrett is signed with TNA.
Oh, did she?
Yes. If you didn't know, Santana Garrett has signed with TNA. There's some more news we should probably add. Also, Alpha Female and Shana were both on the TNA tapings in Europe, so they could be signing shortly. Shana and Alpha Female were both part of the tapings.
Oh, cool. Good.
But as of now, I haven't heard anything of them being signed.
When the heck did Santana sign? Because you didn't say nothing to me about that.
I must have forgot. I know,
anybody else?
No, that's the only one they announced so far.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go. I just told you now, live on the air.
Good. Good for her.
So, yeah, big WSU show also available on iPay-Per-View. If you're a fan of female wrestling, definitely a show you definitely don't want to miss. Extreme Rising returns to pay-per-view this Friday night. Through High Spots TV, as they will be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with an 8 p.m. bell time. And here's what's going on. Doors open 5:30, bell time at 8 o'clock. The franchise Shane Douglas will make an appearance.
Whoa.
As he's troubled by Extreme Rising run in Pittsburgh with him not booked or advertised.
Well, he's on.
In the world title match, Stevie Richards defends the title against Sabu.
Oof.
In a Falls Count Anywhere match, War Machine Rhino goes one-on-one with Devin Storm. There'll be Luke Cox going one-on-one with Rich the Beast Ortiz. It'll be Lonesome Jay Bradley one-on-one with Greek God Papadon.
Wow.
Facade goes one-on-one with M.20 Matt Cross. Blackout will battle the Hit Squad of Danny Mass and Monster Mac. And Balls Mahoney goes one-on-one in a hardcore match with Big Jeff Noise.
Who?
I don't know him either. Plus Blue Meanie, Greg Irons, Man Scout, Jake Manning, Robbie Marino, in a surprise or two. And also Extreme Rising, while we're speaking to them, they return to the ECW Arena on March 1st. And here's what's announced for that. The Sandman will return to Extreme Rising and the home of ECW at the arena with some beer, some cigarettes, and a cane on March 1st. Shane Douglas will also be in the building on March 1st. Stevie Richards will defend the Extreme Rising World title, if he still has it, on March 1st. Already announced, it'll be Sabu versus Damian 666. It'll be Balls Mahoney and Axel Rotten versus Too Tough Tony and Matt Tremont. It'll be Greek God Papadon versus Takaki Watanabe from New Japan Pro Wrestling. In a six-man tag, it'll be the Blackout versus the Hit Squad with Pitbull Gary Wolf. And in a four-way, it'll be Buco Deo versus Purple Haze versus Ricky Starks versus Bolt Brady.
It sounds cool.
Ricky Starks and Bo Brady getting a shot in Philadelphia. Plus, a lot more to be announced, but Luke Hawks, Rich Ortiz, Jay Bradley, Devin Storm, Blue Meanie, Thomas Inchmore, Rodman, and more.
Wow. I wonder if Ty and Travis are going to the show in Pittsburgh.
I would bet so.
That sounds like a good lineup.
Yeah. Nets, Extreme Rising. And finally, this Saturday night, IWA Mid-South returns to Clarksville, Indiana, in the Colgate Gym, man. This Saturday night was 7:30 p.m. bell time. It'll be a steel cage match as Isaiah will go one-on-one with Shane Mercer. It'll be Reed by Guy Bentley going one-on-one with Chris Hero. It'll be in a Texas death match rules, Jack Thriller versus Necro Butcher.
Look out.
It'll be team of Mean and Rotten versus Trick Davis and Adam Gooch. In a six-way fight for your spot, it'll be Zach Sawyer versus Mikey Finnegan versus Frank Wyatt versus Alex Castle versus Dale Patricks versus Derek Neal. It'll be Heidi Lovelace versus Jordan Grace in a no DQ pinfalls count anywhere in Clark County match. Danny Cannon will go one-on-one with Christian Rose. Gary J versus B-Boy. Team IOU versus the Submission Squad. And Corporal Robinson versus Congo Kong.
Ooh, wow.
And
it's a wild lineup.
This is what's going on at IWA Mid-South is this Saturday night.
Take the last train to Clarksville, right?
Yeah. Right? Pretty loaded lineup. And then finally, we move to Sunday. One show on Sunday, and it's our friends up in Montreal at Battle War.
Oh.
As Battle War 16 comes to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, this Sunday night. And on the lineup, new Battle War champion Dirty Bucks Belmore will make his first title defense against Speedball Mike Bailey.
Holy fuck. Is that the main?
That's the main. And a special attraction will be BBQ, Big Bad Quentin, and Giant Tiger against the Rock and Roid Express.
Oh, that's going to be great.
In six-man tag team action, Mike Patterson's Tank Men will take on Radioactive Wave and Player Uno.
Oh, cool.
It'll be Lad Tabernacle Team, TDT, against Kicking and Stopping. And in a singles match, it'll be Shane Hawk one-on-one with Scott Jagged Parker. It's Battle War 16. This Sunday night, 8 p.m. Montreal, Quebec, Canada, doors at 7, 18 plus, man. If you never checked out Battle War, SmartMarkVideo.com has all of their first 13 shows available. Definitely check them out. Really fun promotion that we highly recommend here on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show.
And oh, yes, we do.
That is what's going on this weekend, man.
Wow.
Loaded weekend.
A lot of shit.
Crazy weekend. And with that, I think that's about it for this week, man.
That's it.
So, he's Mike Lynch.
I'm
Tom Richards. We're going to get on out of here.
All right.
So hit the fucking music.
Bam. All right. While Phil Colvin is squirting his mustard pack on his sandwich, may I add that this podcast is the official podcast for the Independent Professional Wrestling Connoisseur, which he is.
There you have it, man.
There you go.
And now you can hit the music.
When he walks down the aisle, 100% high for talent. Grapples on the mat, high flies and does death matches. Second time in COD, exile brain damage. Through a hard fist to the chin, drew a gill in the ooze from the forehead. A short thread of skin blows in the wind, it's dangling. See a fine flashing from the trick landing. You got both of your arms locked in. Like David Lynch in the race ahead. All the
the huge cuts that can produce a trend. The land gasping for oxygen, feed it all in. Take a bump like Gage with a tube from standing. The shit's insane when I'm parked at ringside. Straight net damage again at TOT9. Federation, he's appeared in CCW in absolute intense wrestling. That you in that town, he has been crowned. From Philly to Japan, people stand in the crowd. Every match dresses up with suplex variations, pushing limitations every time his track day ends. But he hit the scene, he was a hybrid sensation. Power slam through a table off of the apron. Him and JC Bailey pulled out boots that were amazing. Slapjack or rolling fireman, carry slam. Even to this day, new goals he accumulates. Junior heavyweight to lay this title in his case.
Finally, after three tries, you're the best of the best champion. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're celebrating. But you see, I think you failed to realize one small thing.
Motherfucker, I'm Drake Young. I'm gonna whoop your fucking ass. And we'll make you bleed from one toe to another.
Taking Sammy Callahan, head to stipulation. 2 or 3 falls, a normal match with a third. Second is a submission fall, and the third is an ultraviolet war between two warriors. There's a spilling blood on the canvas, man. If you miss the competition, buy the stream fast. Cause I promise this contest don't last. Snap, belly to back, in a pile of packs. The first ball came fast, Drake won the must. Sammy got pissed, struck Drake with a hard-hitting plancha. Knocked him in the first row seat, didn't look pretty. Later Ryan Drake's blood flew freely, ring littered with the three and puddles of blood. He did it for his family and every single one of the fans worldwide that watched him in the dub or anywhere else he was professionally wrestled. TOT 6 attorney not to miss. Drake's just gone with the evidence of this event. Hundreds of other incisions from many appearances and epic death matches. Feel like a mess after the frog splash. You're gonna wanna stretch when you make it to the back. This finds all from the somersault and time. This time around you were quickly shut down.
You're fucking with me now!
You have no idea what you're getting into, because I'm gonna make you bleed all over Indiana. I'm gonna make you bleed.
What you know about smart, what you know about fear, fright, Middletown, Delaware. I was winning titles for this company when you was wrestling pirates in Cleveland. You wanna take low blows of me, you wanna take shots of me. What a call, man. You must think that I've gotten soft or something. You must think that I'm not the same Drake Younger. That you must think that I'm not the guy who's gone toe-to-toe with Necro Butcher and Nick Gage and Justice Payne and every other great ultraviolet legend in this company. You must think just because I got married and became a dad, you must think I'm not that same psycho-shooting motherfucker that's gone around this world.